You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Well, we have a big game on Sunday, and it's not this. We have the Niners and the Jaguars coming up on Sunday, arguably the best game of the weekend in the NFL. But the first game on Sunday is New England and Indy. And there's been some discussion. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe does a tremendous job covering the New England Patriots. He's kind of throwing it out there. The idea that could this potentially in season be Bill Belichick's final game if they lose? And I would vote absolutely no chance of that happening. But I guess his record has allowed for this conversation to at least occur.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad. I don't think there's any signs of it getting any better, especially with the way that Mac Jones continued to regress. We thought it was the coordinator being the issue, having Matt Patricia last year. They've got Bill O'Brien this year, who's a guy that knows what the hell he's doing from an X's and O's standpoint. Doesn't seem to make a difference with Mac Jones. So I think that's really what's going to ultimately sandbag Belichick. The general manager, Bill Belichick, yes, is making life real hard for the coach, Bill Belichick, so much so that I think that it's going to force Robert Kraft's hand in terms of moving on. But there's no world that exists where Robert Kraft is going to fire Bill Belichick in season because of what that man means and what he's done for that franchise. The Patriots are now one of the flagship franchises of the National Football League. It wasn't like that when Belichick got there early 2000s. It just wasn't. They were a laughing stock in the 80s and 90s. This is a respectable franchise. This is a flag bearer for the NFL. And so I think there's a certain level of decorum that Robert Kraft is going to handle this with. They're transitioning away from Bill Belichick after this season. There's no world in which we could live in where it happens in season.
Yeah, I think this all comes down to respect, and you respect him and what he has accomplished and what he's done to this franchise so much that you wouldn't fire him in season. That would be embarrassing.
No.
That would not be the way to go about things, and I don't think Robert Kraft would do that. But I also think that by letting go of Bill Belichick at the end of the season, you are showing that you respect him, because Bill Belichick would not hang on to Bill Belichick. If Bill Belichick was a player and the output that he was giving you was the same as what we're seeing right now on the field with Bill Belichick's coaching record of the past couple seasons, he would move on from him. And I think holding someone to the standard of excellence that they've created, even if it means losing your job, is actually a sign of respect.
So if I told you one of these two things would happen, which one is more likely to happen? Belichick fired in season or Belichick back next year as head coach?
Back next year as head coach.
Back next year as head coach.
Yeah, I still think he's going to be back next year as head coach, but I think that is so unlikely for them to fire him in season, because the only reason to fire him in season, just to play out the hypothetical, is just to give Gerard Mayo a shot to get some reps before he really starts as head coach. But even so, is this the fair shot you would want to give him? Is this even the right kind of experience you'd want to give him?
Are you 100,000%, 1,000,000% sure that it's going to be Gerard Mayo?
No, I just think that's the safest way of having the conversation, because I think that if they could get Mike Vrabel, they'd want Mike Vrabel. I think if they could get Nick Saban, they'd want Nick Saban.
Well, that's the other thing, though. Ben Volen from the Globe is not putting this out there for no reason in terms of the dream scenario with having Nick Caserio as the GM and Mike Vrabel as the head coach. Somebody from the Patriots organization wants that out there, and it's emblematic of the infighting that's been happening post-Tom Brady. It feels like there are different factions that want different things. There are loyalists for Bill Belichick, and then there are people that are thinking that we've got to turn the page and move on from him in order to push our program forward. And so when stuff like that starts to surface, when stuff like that starts to come out, it's for a reason. And I think that there is a strong contingent within the Patriots franchise that is ready to move on from Bill Belichick. And right now, based on the record and the on-the-field product, that's giving them ammunition to go to Robert Kraft and say, hey, we've got to move on from Belichick and do something different at head coach.
Yeah, I just that dream scenario I don't see for many reasons. Like Caserio is a guy who runs the Texans. For years, people wanted him out. He hired David Culley.
Yeah, absolutely.
He hired Lovie Smith.
I'm not in love with Caserio. He does nothing for me.
And they filed a tampering charge against him. He was at the Patriots like party for the Super Bowl when he was part of the team. Then went to the Texans and like was talking to people there about going with them to the Texans. They filed a tampering charge.
Yeah, I don't. Here's the thing. I don't bring up Nick Caserio to say that that's what they're actually going
right,
to do.
Just someone
but
else.
It's just that we're living in a world where they're talking about somebody else being the decision maker in New England.
Right.
We ain't been able to say that for over two decades. So the fact that we're having these conversations and that this is out there by the Boston Globe, which covers the team, it just speaks to the level of volatility now that we're seeing in the Patriots franchise, something that we haven't been accustomed to because they've been the model of stability. So I guess the whole point is they're entertaining life without Bill Belichick. And with each loss, how are we not coming closer and closer to that reality?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to remove Evan from this conversation because he is the most loyal soldier.
Nah, he would never get rid of Bill Belichick.
Else. You would let this ride out until
Yeah,
he
but
makes
I think I'm being fair about the fact that I think he's better at this than anyone who's ever done it until proven otherwise. Even though this is a horrible couple of years, I still would give him another
proven,
shot.
I think he's proven otherwise right now.
Yeah, but I don't. But
outside of Evan, I think most of us agree that it's not going to get much better in New England and they need to make a change. The interesting part of this is when and how. How? Because I am still of the belief that I can't see Bill Belichick walking away quietly into the night saying, yeah, you're right. Hasn't been great the past couple years. I'm tapped out. I don't have it anymore. I can't see him willingly agreeing to want to leave. So I think that that's where this could get really spicy is if he says, I still want to coach and I still have a lot left in me. It might not be in New England, but I want to go elsewhere. How does that play out?
Well, but that's such a unique set of circumstances to be able to bring on somebody like Bill Belichick because you're a win now team if you're making that kind of move. That means that you're looking at an organization that could be right there either on the outside looking into the playoffs or a team that's actually in the playoffs that has an early exit. Now you're talking about a whole host of other opportunities, other situations that we might have to do a little bit further examination on. Like, think about it. It could be a dynamic like we're talking about with the Chicago Cubs and how they went out and hired Craig Counsell and they already had a manager, David Ross. Like, it could be that type of situation with Bill Belichick, but it's such a unique circumstance that he'd have to be hired under just because he's not going to any situation around the NFL.
So, play out one other thing. Let's say Belichick convinces Robert Kraft to give him another year and he says, listen, I got the quarterback wrong. I'll own that. Mac Jones is not an NFL starting quarterback. Give me a shot to get another guy. Is there a guy that he can get? Like, is there a guy that we look at? Russell Wilson changed teams. Aaron Rodgers changed teams. Matthew Stafford changed teams. We've actually seen, oddly, more NFL quarterback trades in the last probably 5 years than maybe in the last 15, 20 combined.
Yeah.
I'm saying of significance. This is not to be disrespectful to Josh Dobbs. I don't mean Josh Dobbs going to Minnesota, right?
Okay.
That was a good move by Minnesota. I'm saying a guy of significance where Belichick can say, I'm going to go get this guy, and our fortunes are going to change. Is there a guy out there?
Kyler Murray?
That's the guy who needs study hall working for Belichick is going to be an interesting one, right? So let's put him on the list, okay? So maybe him. Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun Watson ain't going nowhere. Okay, who's taking that contract?
Okay. Wow. So is there even – this is where I struggle on this. Dak? Cowboys say, I don't want to pay him. We want to move on.
I just don't see that.
I don't either.
Ryan Tannehill?
Oh, please no.
I mean, you're asking about guys that could be changing teams. I mean, I'm just throwing out the names that. I mean, Kirk Cousins would be for money, but he's coming off of Achilles tear. Yeah. Like you just don't know about that.
Russ,
does that seem like an enticing situation if you're Belichick?
More than the current one.
Oh yeah,
sure.
That's true. I'll take Russell Wilson over Mac Jones.
Yeah,
for sure.
Right, and that could be like hey, you know, let's do this together. We're each on our last chance, and Sean Payton gets the clean slate that maybe he wants.
Yeah,
maybe that. And I mean, Belichick and Payton have a
Baker Mayfield retread.
No,
I don't know. Again, you're not talking about a lot of great options.
Right,
I guess that would be the point.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
That would be the point.
But that's probably the last-ditch effort is you got to find a quarterback, and they may not give Belichick enough time to develop the quarterback. If he says, hey, we're drafting the top five, I can get somebody. Maybe Russell Wilson is the guy.
I think it's more likely than not that Bill Belichick won't be back next year. And so now it's just a matter of how do they handle the divorce and what ultimately happens with Bill Belichick's coaching future. Because I'm with you, Smalls. I don't think he takes this laying down. I don't think it's the last time we see him on an NFL sideline. If the Patriots and Bill Belichick come to terms and there's a resignation there, he steps away from the team, I see a world where Belichick is coaching for another team in around the NFL.
I mean, the wins record is still out there. He's hovering. Yeah. I just can't see him walking away of his own volition and having it end this way in New England and just giving that up when you're this close.
Well, you have described this as this ending, Smalls, would be like a football tragedy, that it would be just horrible that it would end this way, correct?
That's what Kevin Clark said, that it's a football tragedy.
But what other way could it end? Because, I mean, the only way that he could end perfectly in New England, I mean, Brady, we think about Brady's lasting impact or lasting legacy at the end of his career was winning a Super Bowl in Tampa, but he played years after that.
Yeah.
Right? That was not his last season.
But you want the Peyton Manning, you want the Ray Lewis, you win a Super Bowl, you ride off into the
but
sunset.
Even when,
that's what you want.
Even when Brady walked away, it's not as if he was terrible.
No, Brady would be a top 5 to 10 quarterback this year.
That's what I'm saying.
So
I think
question.
That's a great ending for him, that he just decides at this stage of my life, physically, all of the factors surrounding this, I'm choosing to walk away.
But his life is football, and that's the difference, right? We're looking at it from the standpoint of logical people, and the guys that are coaches for this long in the NFL, they ain't logical. It's not rational. It's not logical to want to spend 14, 16 hours during the regular season every single day focused on a game plan, focused on your team, and focused on trying to win against this week's opponent. That's what they do. That's the level of commitment. And Belichick has been doing this. This is the craziest thing about it. Since 1975. That's how long he's been in the National Football League in some capacity as a coach. It's a long damn time. Like, so I guess I look at it from the standpoint of this is who he is, and I don't see him walking away from the game anytime soon if he can help it, if he has an opportunity to stay as a coach. I just don't think that opportunity is going to be afforded to him in New England based on everything we've heard Robert Kraft say this entire offseason and in training camp leading into this season.
You put three words at the end there, in New England, meaning somebody else you still think could give him a shot.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, no Bill Belichick is still a good coach. I just don't think Bill Belichick, the talent evaluator, is as good as he once was.
And it's easier to go to a new franchise and only be focused on coaching than it is to strip him from responsibilities in New England.
Let me just throw out this hypothetical. If Bill Belichick was the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys this year and Mike McCarthy, would we feel differently about the Dallas Cowboys? I know I would. I'd feel differently about the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, but I don't feel badly about him because of Mike McCarthy. So I guess that's, you know, it's all how I look at Mike McCarthy in a higher light than you guys do. So put him on the Chargers is the better one, right?
No, put him with the Dallas Cowboys. You think that the Cowboys would have the same chance of winning a championship with Belichick as McCarthy?
No, I think they would have better, but
that's my point.
Yeah, but I think McCarthy still gives them a shot. That's where I guess I differ. Put him on the Chargers, forget it. We assume that Justin Herbert's the best quarterback in the league, right? If you put him on the Chargers, we assume that Justin Herbert's ability to make big plays and prevent big mistakes is way greater than it is. Put him on Buffalo. Think about him with Buffalo and the lack of mistakes that Josh Allen would then have. Boy,
that'd be awfully spicy.
I don't like the hypothetical.
We're gonna get rid of Sean McDermott and hire Bill Belichick.
Okay, Craig Council.
I don't like that hypothetical. I just by accident came up with, talking about
rubbing somebody's nose in it. Ooh. That is a Bill Belichick rub your nose in it type of move.
And couldn't you see him in
Buffalo
with the
hoodies?
That
is a rub your nose in it type
of
move.
Super Bowl next year. 100%.
But Evan, with Belichick and Brady gone, you're a front runner. The Patriots are no longer the front runner, so you can jump ship.
Join the Bills.
Yeah, you can just
the Bills
be a Bills fan. No
can he or can't he? Next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan, Canty, and Michelle are unsportsmanlike. Kenny? Or Canty?
This is not hard-hitting analysis. It's not that.
Can he or Canty?
That is the question.
Can he or Canty? Our NFL prop bets brought to you by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by today. All right, we're going to throw over-under questions. Can they do it or can they not do it? Can he or Canty for the NFL games coming up starting tonight? Smalls, at CC, you go first. I go second. We go on from there.
Okay.
And boy, exciting moments tonight we're looking forward to with the Bears and the Panthers.
Oh, yeah. Well, this game's got a little intrigue now because of what's going to happen in the NFL draft next year, right? It's got a little spice to it.
Do you think that Caleb Williams will watch this game tonight as a result?
Yeah, he's going to scout.
If I'm him, I want to know where the hell I'm going.
Yeah, no doubt.
I want to see about the Chicago Bears and maybe see a receiver that I could be throwing the ball to in DJ Moore. Why not?
Okay. Smalls, go ahead.
All right. Well, let's talk about quarterback Bryce Young for the Panthers. Over, under 1.5 touchdown passes.
I'm going to go over, and I get it. Bryce Young has only had one game where he's had multiple touchdown passes this year. Well, I guess last week he had multiple touchdown passes, just threw two to the other team. But I guess I'm looking at it from the standpoint of the Bears' pass defense being awful. They've allowed 20 passing touchdowns on the season. That is the worst in all of football. I feel like Bryce Young, after having such a bad game against the Colts last week, follows it up in a short week. Get that bad performance out of you with the multi-touchdown passing game against the Chicago Bears in primetime.
DJ Moore against his former team here, over under 53.5 receiving yards.
I'm going way over on this one. And I get it, the last three games with Tyson Bagent as the starter, he's hovered around 50 yards receiving. But the last time we saw him in a primetime game was against the Washington Commanders on Thursday Night Football, where he went off for 8 catches, 230 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He loves the big stage, and he's going to love an opportunity, relish it, to go up against his former team. I think he gives them that work. Not that Tyreek Hill, Kansas City Chiefs. He gives them that work tonight in Chicago.
All right, let's pivot to another game, CC. Cleveland and Baltimore. Lamar Jackson, over or under, Canty or Canty, 209.5 passing yards.
I'm going under because he's playing against the Browns defense. The Browns defense is one of the best defenses in all of football. Matter of fact, they are the best defense when it comes to total yards in the National Football League. So this Browns defense holds everybody down, and I'm anticipating they're going to hold Lamar Jackson's passing numbers down just a little bit.
By the way, just an add-on to that, based on what we've seen, an under on that doesn't mean a loss.
No.
And that's what's interesting about this Ravens team is that they're finding ways to win.
Well, they had over 500 total yards of offense, and Lamar's net passing last week against Seattle was 187 yards. They scored 37 points.
Right, exactly.
So it's not as if a high passing total means that Lamar and the Ravens offense is going to have a big day. They can have a big day without throwing the ball all over the yard.
So this next Canty or Canty really is an indicator as to, boy, this is not working out because this number is so low. Deshaun Watson over under 0.5 passing touchdowns on Sunday. That is such a low number for the amount of guaranteed money they have going into him right now.
I'm going to say that they actually go over on that one. It's going to be so hard to get mileage against that Ravens defense in the front seven. I mean, they've got one of the best defensive tackle tandems in all of football in Justin Madubuike and Michael Pierce. I don't think the Browns get a lot of mileage on the ground against the Ravens. I think it's going to have to be through the air. And that's why I think Deshaun Watson runs into a passing touchdown, kind of like we saw him run into one last week when he doinked it off of somebody's head and Amari Cooper came down with the catch. So I'm going to go over, but I ain't saying it with my chest.
All right, let's go to San Francisco at Jacksonville. Travis Etienne, over, under 89.5 rushing and receiving yards.
I'm going over, and Travis Etienne is the kind of guy that can give that 49ers defense fits. This is a dude that they can deploy all over the field. They can put him in the slot. They can line him up out wide. They can put him in the dot behind the quarterback. He can be offset and shotgun. He is going to be a nightmare for this 49ers defense to defend. I mean, whether it's a linebacker, whether it's a safety responsible for him, it's a hard cover, one of the hardest covers in the National Football League. That's why he seemingly finds himself in the end zone each and every game. If you watch what happened in Pittsburgh, he was dominant as a receiver. The big play on offense for the Jags happened to be on a touchdown catch from Travis Etienne. So I'm going to go over 89.5 total scrimmage yards for Travis Etienne against the 49ers.
Every description you just gave for Travis Etienne, is he one of two with those descriptions in the league with the guy he's playing this week? Is there anybody else who can do all of those things outside of Etienne and McCaffrey?
No.
So
no.
And
McCaffrey is the original. Like, Etienne is the remix. Right. Like, it's a situation right now where those two guys are playing at a really high level. And if you have either one of them, you're smiling because it makes life a whole lot easier for your quarterback. So with Christian McCaffrey, the over on total scrimmage yards is 101.5 yards. I'm actually going under on that one. I'm going under. I think this is a game with Deebo Samuel back, finally healthy. They take some of that workload off of McCaffrey. They put it on Deebo. They put it on George Kittle, and they put it on Brandon Ayuk. I think this is a get-right game for Brock Purdy. Not to say that they won't use Christian McCaffrey in the run game, but I think they spread the wealth against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, Giants and Cowboys. Dak Prescott, over or under 243.5 passing yards. Canny or can'ty?
I'm going to go over on this one just because it's so easy. It's going to be so easy against this Giants team to throw the football. I get it. Do no harm. The Giants are on their third-string quarterback, Tommy DeVito. But I think they look to build on the good fields, the momentum that Dak in that passing game was able to establish, throwing for 374 yards against the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to keep that connection between Dak and CeeDee Lamb rolling. They got the tight ends more involved. They'll get Tony Pollard involved in the passing game. I think Dak goes over 243.5 passing yards.
All right, Canny or can'ty, brought to you by Granger. Let's go to Saquon Barkley, over, under 63.5 rushing yards.
I'm going to go under on this one because Tommy DeVito is the starting quarterback for the Giants. What is the opposing defense going to do? The Dallas Cowboys defense going to put 8-9 guys in the box to stop Saquon Barkley because there is no threat of the vertical passing game. Brian Daboll doesn't trust Tommy DeVito to throw the football. Let's just call it what it is. And when he did let him throw the football against the Raiders, what happened? Pick. It's not a situation where the head coach and the offensive coordinator trust the quarterback to throw. That means that Saquon Barkley is going to have to do everything for the New York Giants. They might as well just let Saquon be the quarterback and line him up in Wildcat for the entire game. But I think it puts a cap on what we can expect from Saquon, even though I think he'll have a lot of touches. I don't think he'll get a lot of mileage in the run game.
Yeah, I would bet, by the way, that the Giants, who have already had three starting quarterbacks this year, will have a fourth after this game. I bet you Matt Barkley is going to start for them at the Commanders because the way that that their head coach, Brian Daboll, is speaking, and they know each other from the Buffalo days, it's Barkley's not starting because he's not ready yet. He just got there. I could see him starting next week, Smalls.
All right, let's go to Texans and Bengals. My boy Joe Burrow. Canny or can'ty, over, under 281.5 passing yards.
I'm going over on that one. I know it seems strange, but Joe Burrow in three of the last four games has gone over that total, and I think a lot of it has to do with his health. So I could see him having yet another big game against the Texans. We know that the Texans allow points. Just look at what that happened with the Bucs and Baker Mayfield. The points are going to be cheap in this game, and I think Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and that group find a way to get a whole bunch of them. So I'm going over 281.5 passing yards for Joey B.
All right, last one, C.J. Stroud, of course, the rookie of the year, soon-to-be rookie of the year, Houston Texans, over under 250.5 passing yards against the Bengals.
I'm going to go under on that one. And I know it seems counterintuitive given that he threw for 470 yards, but the two games prior to that, 140 yards passing against the Carolina Panthers, 199 yards passing against the New Orleans Saints. I know Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals, is putting that Bucs tape on a loop for his defense and saying, guys, we can't allow C.J. Stroud and this Texans offense to get rich and get a whole bunch of yards. So I think they find a way to limit the productivity in a passing game. I'm going to go under 251.5 passing yards for C.J. Stroud.
And there you go. Can he or can't he? Brought to you by Granger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Granger has the right product for you. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by today. Coming up, another Virginia alum, a two-time Super Bowl champ, Chris Long, will join us next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPNU, Sirius XM Channel 80, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, and the ESPN app, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. We want to get you updated here on all of the information that we have by way of our ESPN team and reporters on the Michigan situation going on right now. So Michigan has responded to the Big Ten notice of disciplinary action over allegations of sign stealing and off-campus scouting by Connor Stallions. Any potential discipline from the Big Ten is not expected until Thursday, which is today, a source told ESPN. And any potential penalties by the Big Ten would most likely focus on Jim Harbaugh and not the football players. And a letter to the Big Ten has been signed by 11 state representatives in Michigan, warning the conference not to take disciplinary measures against Michigan until the final results of its own investigation or NCAA probe is announced. So we are going to keep you updated on that all show, obviously, and all day. And we think maybe by tomorrow we will have more information on that. But right now we are joined by a two-time Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
He's got his podcast, Green Light with Chris Long. It is Chris Long, and he joins us here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Hello, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen. And I'm going to ask the first question to Chris Canty. Tell me about this man and his family and the Virginia family and what that Long family meant to you.
Oh, it was the best family ever. I mean, first of all, I learned how to break down tape because of his dad, Hall of Famer Howie Long, sitting with me in the McHugh Center and just going through practice film, game tape, and then watching some of the legends, some of the best to ever do it, and what separated them. My football acumen became what it became because of his dad, Howie Long, and then just the whole family. I mean, Chris was always over there, even when he was in high school, working out with us, what I'm pretty sure was some kind of NCAA violation. Well, I digress. But he was always in the weight room working out with us. That's why it's not a surprise to me that he became a great pro, a world champion, the second overall pick in his draft class, and just an all-around great guy. Now he's got a successful podcast, the Green Light Podcast. So, brother, I'm glad that you finally was able to come on our brand new show. Welcome to Unsportsmanlike.
Dude, I'm so excited. Like, I get to see Chris Canty, who first off was one of the first upperclassmen to actually take care of me in Virginia. He's one of the first people that said, "You're going to be all right." I remember I hit a leverage sled in the weight room, and he turned to two of the other guys, and he's like, "He's going to be all right." And I remember hearing that. And that was really empowering, and he just kept being a great vet for me. And Michelle, I've known Michelle, obviously, for a very long time with the St. Louis roots, so I'm so psyched to see both of y'all on the same set.
Yeah, we're so pumped to have you, Chris. First of all, what's going on with your background? Are you just sitting outside enjoying a beautiful Virginia morning? What's going on?
I am. It's important to get that time outside, but more than anything, I have a four-month-old baby who will not respect the podcast industry. I mean, like, when you're working at home, you know, the kids don't really care is what I discovered over the pandemic.
No, they don't care anytime. It doesn't matter when it is. So trust me, as somebody with a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, it does not get any easier. It just gets different, Chris. I promise you that.
That's right.
So much of our conversation around the NFL this year has been around Belichick, and I am a Pats fan, so I do appreciate your time there. But tell us about who he is, not what he is. We all know what he is. Tell us about who he is.
I mean, the guy, I really love the guy, man. I was only there for a year, so, you know, it's not like I'm an expert on New England, but I just thought when I came in, serious, scary guy. But if you can get the guy to laugh and crack that smile, which his smile comes up, it takes about 3 seconds. So you can see it coming the whole time. It just brings a lot of joy to the guys to bust his chops and get a joke off and see Bill smile. So he does smile. He does have hobbies. Obviously loves the Naval Academy, loves history, all that stuff. And I think he was really cool about bringing that stuff into the fold. So it wasn't just football. You spent a lot of time at the facility there. You sacrificed a lot. But he tried to make it fun at different turns in the road. And I don't think he was I don't think he was a hard ass every day. I mean, you know, he really mixed it up and he cared about his players. And I think as a coach, the one thing I always tell people is he could walk around the practice facility during individual period when everybody's doing their own drills, and he could coach each individual period as well as the individual coach, the position coach. So he's just so well-versed in everything football. But off the field, he actually does have some hobbies, and I really enjoyed getting to know him and his quirks.
Chris, coming into this season, public perception was that Bill Belichick was going to hang around as the head coach of the New England Patriots until he broke Don Shula's all-time wins record. But now, 9 games in, I think you're starting to hear a lot of volume on the conversation about this potentially being Bill Belichick's last season in Foxborough. Do you think we could live in a world where the Patriots part company with Belichick after the season?
You know, I don't know anything. I'll just say that first. Like, nobody's told me anything. You know how tight-lipped they are there, and it's not like I have a bunch of buddies still on that team. That's one of the things that I think's plagued them is they had so many great vets for so long. You know, you talk about Tom Brady, you boil it down to Tom Brady, but what about Dante Hightower? What about Julian Edelman? What about Danny Amendola? Mm-hmm. You know, all those guys that kind of slowly retired or changed teams. It's been a long time since that 2016 season, and that was the last time I was there. And I know they won a Super Bowl since, but you need those veterans. And, you know, we talked about this week, like, what is the Patriot way if it doesn't translate from team to team? And I think you need the veterans as much as you need a great quarterback. People just boil it down to Tom. But Bill asks a lot of the guys. That means you need guys that can meet him halfway and enforce that standard. And I think it's got to be hard right now. And I could see a world if hypothetically they are moving on. I mean, ultimately this is a business and I'm sure he'd tell you the same thing, you know, so he's not going to tell you anything right now, but if that does happen, I think he'd accept it. And I would hope he'd want to keep coaching because I'm a huge fan of Bill's and I think he's still got it. I think the most interesting consideration is if he's in that next hiring cycle, do people want him to be the GM too? I think that might be a consideration that complicates things.
Chris, I want to ask you about the other team you won a Super Bowl with in the Philadelphia Eagles. My teammate CeCe over here loves Jalen Carter. Tell me what you've seen out of him. What makes him so special?
I see Defensive Rookie of the Year. Listen, when they came out of training camp, I asked some of my boys, how's that Jalen Carter kid doing? And one of them said he might be the best player on the defense. And that's a pretty – you know, a lot of times we get excited in training camp. I remember when I first saw Aaron Donald do anything on a football field. Michelle,
oh yeah,
you can remember probably hearing the quotes from in the locker room. I don't get everything right, but day two, we huddled as a D-line. And we're like, yeah, is he going to be a Hall of Famer? Yeah, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Day two, Chris?
We were out there in underwear during OTAs, like no pads. And this guy is just, you could see it. And I think Jalen Carter, you know, not to compare the two, because obviously there's only one Aaron Donald, but Jalen Carter came out there. I think what separates him is he's got so much raw power and explosiveness. But he also has the ability to get skinny, get sideways, jump in a gap.
Yeah,
he's got the wiggle and that hits you in the mouth where a guard's got to be worried about, you know, setting that anchor down, and he has counters off of it. I just think he's slippery, and that's a really hard thing to define, but he has that ability. And just he plays hard. I've seen him sprinting out of the stack a couple times this year. you know, somebody completes a check down and he makes them pay. He makes them pay the tax. And of all the things I've seen him do, that's my favorite thing, because once he is that guy and guys leave or retire, he's got to be the standard setter. So I just hope he keeps that up.
It is on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, along with Michelle Smallman, Virginia alum Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you, and of course Virginia alum Chris Long joining us. He's got his Green Light podcast, Green Light with Chris Long, does an amazing job there. In the news over the last couple of days, so we got to ask you, who's sexier, Travis or Jason Kelce?
Listen, you know, it's getting cold outside. You want to stay warm. You need a guy with a big beard, a guy you can snuggle up with, ladies. I know he's off the market, but he's on the – he just got named one of the sexiest men in the world by People Magazine. I mean, that seems like an exact science. So I'm going with Jason.
Nice.
Chris, we got to ask you about Jim Harbaugh and the sign-stealing scandal out in Michigan. I know that there's been a lot of pressure on Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti to act now with potentially disciplining Jim Harbaugh before the NCAA concludes its investigation into the sign-stealing scandal. Do you think that Jim Harbaugh should be disciplined before the NCAA concludes their investigation? What do you make of it?
Now, Chris, I could be walking into a trap because I have no idea what people are saying. I kind of tune out the college football world most of the days of the week because I have to focus so much on pro football. I'm watching Atlanta, Minnesota at 11:30 last night on All 22. What the heck am I doing? I could be focused on the Connor Stallion thing. Okay, here's my – after that, here's what I think. If you do an investigation, you finish the investigation. There's no way you should punish anybody before an investigation's over. I have no horse in the race. I'm not a Michigan fan. But I also think at the end of the day, yeah, it's cheating, but there's been worse done. You know, I did not realize this was going to turn into such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, we of course wanted to talk football with you. We wanted to talk sexy guys with you. But as we lead up to Veterans Day and honor veterans, we know that the great work you do with Water Boys, you do a lot of work with veterans. Can you just share what you guys have been up to with Water Boys and what Veterans Day means to you?
Absolutely. Let me first off say thank you to any veterans listening. You know, the men and women that take that leap and say, "Hey, I'll go there. I'll do that. I'll be away from my family for all this time." You know, I have three kids now, and just talking about it, and I couldn't imagine having to go somewhere and not see them for a long period of time and have to go through the things that veterans willfully go through. And so I just appreciate those men and women. And, you know, our foundation is all about educational equity, but also implementation of clean water solutions. So We work domestically. We also work abroad. We do a lot of our work in Tanzania. And, you know, we do this hike every year up Kilimanjaro. And it's turned into almost every year for me because it is hard on my body. But we take a bunch of veterans up. We take a bunch of retired athletes up. So in that picture, you can see Justin Wren, who's a fighter. You can see Nate Boyer, who was a Green Beret, Connor Barwin in the middle there, and then one of our awesome guides from the A-team there that get us up the mountain. But it's a 19,341-foot mountain, and the thing that brought me over to Kilimanjaro and introduced me to this issue was climbing that mountain. And when Nate Boyer got cut by the Seahawks, he was the Green Beret that went to Texas at like 31 years old, like living the dream. And then ended up with the Seahawks and got cut. I reached out to him, cold called him, said, "Let's do something together, man, because I love the service mindset that veterans have, and I want to involve them in what we do." And 5-6 iterations of this thing later, we've raised a bunch of money, and we have some of the most awesome volunteers for our cause, the veterans, the men and women that go up that mountain and come down. They become real champions for our cause. So appreciate them. I know that when they get out, you know, they want to find something bigger than themselves. Look us up, waterboys.org. I mean, we all need that cause, and a lot of veterans have done a lot of good for us, so we appreciate you.
Chris, you're a good man. Thank you very much for the time here and all you've done, and obviously all the stories with Michelle and CeCe here. We do appreciate it, Chris.
Thank you all. It's great to see you guys, everybody on that set. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
Before we get to our most unsportsmanlike moments or moments of the day, an update on the Michigan situation. Pete Thamel, ESPN college football reporter. Source, the Big Ten is reviewing the lengthy written responses from both Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. There's no indication of any timetable on a decision on a potential Big Ten discipline in the case of Michigan's alleged illegal sign or signal stealing. So that is a little bit of an update because initially the update ESPN.com we had was it could come today, which I guess it still could come today. But now there's no update, which makes us think that they're going to try to do what we've suggested here, which is delay, delay, delay to make sure it happens after the season. But then, if that's the case, then our very own Pat Costello, producer of the show, is going to get annoyed every day because it's not going anywhere then. Then we're going to have constant updates with no resolution, right? That's what we're looking at.
Yeah, but even if there's resolution, we're going to talk about it every day.
Yeah, that's the thing. Right? Like if Jim Harbaugh potentially being off the field while Michigan is trying to finish their regular season, the big game with Ohio State. Hell, the big game this weekend at Penn State.
Big game.
And then you're talking about the college football playoff. Like, it will be a conversation for the next 2 months if they do have action. I think the best thing is inaction, buy yourself time. It's kind of like playing the option in football. You just try to buy as much time and let the defense rally or let something else in the news cycle take the headlines. That's what Tony Petitti should be thinking about. That should have been the mindset from the outset of this entire scandal. Because think about it. You don't want to take one of the most prominent figures, not just in the Big Ten, but in all of college football, away from your sport at the time where you want to be highlighting the platform. It just made no sense.
I just went back to my high school quarterback days getting pummeled running the option because I would always run it incorrectly. Attack the defensive end and then pitch. I just didn't do the pitching part, and I just got tackled. It was not fun. Many times.
What'd you do well as a high school quarterback?
Give the ball to the other team.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
did that at an elite
level. I was
amazing.
I was, like Bryce Young. I was Bryce Young last week.
He's like the Jameis Winston of high school football.
Eating W's.
The other way.
Taking crab legs.
I needed LASIK surgery, too. That's what I'm going to blame it on. Yeah. So unsportsmanlike moment. An amazing thing happened here on ESPN Radio yesterday. So Greeny's show is on after hours, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time. And Greeny had a fantasy football dilemma, and he was looking to get Yates. Field Yates. Not how it ended up.
Did we get Yates?
Oh, we got Yates in studio, Yates, baby.
Okay. Perfect. Studio. So this is what I needed.
We got Yates in studio.
So I have this fantasy question, and Yates is our top fantasy person here at ESPN. What is the general etiquette on things like this?
Well, you're going to have to put your fandom aside if you really want to win.
Wait.
Your secondary option is who?
Wait, I'm sorry. Can I can sort of see. This is not Yates.
This is Yates.
What do you mean it's Yates?
This is Cousin Yates.
What does that mean?
You said get Yates. This is Alan Yates. What do you mean?
Surprise. Alan Yates?
I'm the soup guy.
You remember the guy who never ate soup? This is him.
Oh, hold on. So I asked for Yates and you went and got Alan Yates?
Yes, he was the closest Yates in the vicinity.
And I'm a Josh Jacobs owner in fantasy as well. So, you know, you got to start the guy because you can't go in that joint with Zeke. You just can't do that.
That's, are you telling me you did not think? You just assumed any Yates?
That's what you said. You kept saying.
I thought you said get.
You kept saying Yates. Get Yates. We got Yates. He was a studio over. It was easy to get him.
All right. Well, we have this. But we do have Field Yates now for real.
All right. Well, keep both Yates.
I mean, we have both Yates here.
As many Yates possible. We have them.
Call Clinton.
Is this Field Yates? Call
Clinton. Greeny. How okay. are you, my friend?
Thank God.
That is so awesome.
That's that
is
great.
Because he has Josh Jacobs on his fantasy team. Josh Jacobs is going up against the Jets. He doesn't know what to do, and he's a Jets fan, obviously. And so he says, get Yates, get Yates. Alan Yates is a producer here at ESPN Radio.
Yes. Yeah.
So they got – I mean, they did their job. I mean, Cam, Bubba, everybody, they did their job. They got Yates. They didn't get the Yates he was looking for.
They're well, they did get the Yates he was looking for after they got Alan Yates, too.
Two for the price of one.
Yeah, exactly. More Yates, the better, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Said no one ever. But, yes, it just so happens to be true in that instance, yeah. Yes.
And they should have gotten Clinton Yates, too. They should have just gotten all in on getting all the Yates. All the Yates. ESPN,
all the
and
Yates.
Then looked in the company directory. Is there anyone else named Yates that you can book
Just
there?
Have them on the show.
The question is, and I didn't hear the lead up to all of it. So I am fascinated. Nuno, Pat, maybe you guys heard it. Was he just saying, was Greeny just saying, get me Yates because he couldn't actually remember Field's name? Or did he say, get Field Yates?
Well, no, he said, get me Yates, but I think it's because he's talking about fantasy football. And if you say Yates, you know that you're talking about Field Yates, right?
We do, but I'm saying, does Greeny not, did he not in that moment?
I would hope his producers on his show would know, I have a fantasy football question, get me Yates. That means Field Yates.
Yeah.
He said, yeah.
Pat, go ahead.
I mean, I'm not putting past the producers over on Greeny to not know who they're supposed to be booking.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh, shots fired.
Yeah, is this shots fired.
Cam,
beef?
Brad, Bubba.
Wait, yeah. Are we adding this to the beef list? Pat yeah. versus the Greeny stuff?
I don't know. Yeah. To me, that's actually producing it correctly if he's going to ask
and
for
and if
Yates.
That's the case, I mean, which side is Nuno going to be on? Because he is one of the founding members of the hashtag crew. Yeah.
My loyalty is from 6A to 10A.
Okay.
Good answer.
Okay. Notice a stumble there? My loyalty is 6A to noon.
Yeah, but notice he didn't say my loyalty is to Pat. Yeah. He said my loyalty is to our crew.
No, he said 6A to 10A. Yeah. I don't even know if it's us. He just said
right.
to this time slot.
Greeny does have
he meant get
show.
Up. He meant get up is what he meant. Yeah, exactly. That's 8A to 10A, and the production meeting starts at 6 a.m. But I thought the slap could have been the most unsportsmanlike moment of the day, or the holding hands. We did hold hands at different points during the show today. There's the holding hands on ESPNU, and then it ultimately resulted in a part two, which then ended up in an HR moment where I got slapped. Greeny. Coming up next, we are on a Friday on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.